Hello and welcome to my second audio episode, which would be on the techniques of conducting the main discussion or addressing the key issues in a clinical communication skill task. And my name is Dr. Mohamed Al-Karib. As you may already know from the first episode, I'm a consultant physician and a medical ethicist, and those audios are meant to help my younger colleagues learn and master the techniques of skillful clinical communication. So in this audio, I'm going to address the discussion of the main issues, that is the main discussion during a communication skill task. In the first episode, you have learned how to open the session. So let me go quickly to the skills of opening this session before moving on to the skills and techniques of conducting the main discussion. So the skills of opening the sessions is to greet a patient with a comfortable professional smile, extending your hands, and then introducing yourself by the name and explain your role, and take the ID of the patient, then demonstrate an inclusive approach, as we are here today to speak about your medical condition, and then place the meeting on track by summarizing the information that you already have, and then ask an open-ended question and listen actively and attentively, and then show understanding and empathy. So this is a quick summary of the skills of opening the session. I would advise you to listen to the first audio to get those techniques and skills in details. Right, so we start by showing empathy and showing understanding. So I understand, Mr. John, and I can see how things look like to you. Now, in a professional tone, move on to the first skill of addressing the main issues, which would be a broad description of the situation. So, Mr. John, let me comment. Let me give you some information about this condition, and I just make it a general comment. Do not dive into details at this stage, right? Just give him a broad description of the situation, and remember that this patient or surrogate is not a medical student, is not a doctor, so don't give him a lecture, right? Of course, you should avoid the jargon. They never use medical jargon at all. So give a broad description and stop to check understanding before you go further. I hope this makes sense to you, Mr. John, and wait for his response. Right, and then proceed on to provide more details, taking care not to pump in too much information at a time. The patient wouldn't be able to absorb too much information at a time. So give the information into small doses and stop and check understanding. So you started by a broad description of the situation, the first skill, with a professional tone, because you started in an empathetic tone. You can keep that one. It is good to keep it, but move on to a professional tone and provide a general description of the situation. The second skill is to avoid bumping into too much information at a time. And the third skill is to stop to check understanding. This is most important skill. Do not bump in too much information at a time. Check understanding. I hope this point is clear to you now, Mr. John. And try to relate this comment to the concerns that you have explored, that you have realized, that you have identified while you are opening the session, because the patient has spoken to you and you have an idea about what is concerning him. So when you are explaining the condition, relate that to the concerns of the patient and ask him. I hope this makes you feel better about the point you have expressed earlier on, Mr. John. This is also checking understanding, addressing the concerns of the patient. I move on to another point. Of course, your discussion is going to vary depending on the situation that is being presented to you, right? The fourth skill, which is very important, be prepared to pick up clues that would indicate that the patient is having a new concern. So the patient might have new concerns while you are talking to him, in addition to the concerns expressed earlier. So be very attentive to pick up those clues, and those clues could be verbal. The patient can tell you verbally that, doctor, I have a problem with this, or I didn't understand this point, for instance. So this is a verbal expression of a clue expressed verbally regarding a concern that the patient is now experiencing. Or the patient might not be able to tell you verbally, but he might actually express non-verbal clue of a concern. The patient might appear concerned, the patient might be looking away from you, the patient might be bothered, so you have to pick up those clues, which are non-verbal expressions of a concern. And once you identify that, stop the main discussion, right? Do not be concerned about the main course of the discussion, and respond immediately to this new concerns. And the way to do it, Mr. John, it seems that something is bothering you. Can you please share that with me, for instance, if it is expressed non-verbally? If it is expressed verbally, then you can say, okay, Mr. John, actually, I can see what you are referring to. Let me explain that point. And then you explain the point, right? Respond to the concern and check understanding. I hope this makes you more comfortable now. I hope things looks better to you right now. I hope this explanation has helped you to realize this point in a better way. And then when the patient says yes, then tell him I'm glad that you find this explanation helpful. Now let me return to our previous discussion and get back to the previous discussion. So never proceed into the main discussion if the patient interrupts you with a verbal or non-verbal expression of a concern. That's very, very important. And then the fifth skill is to suggest solutions to the problems that the patient is having. For instance, if the patient is having a condition that makes him socially uncomfortable, you can suggest social worker involvement. I'm just giving you examples here. But before you do that, you have to explain what is meant by social worker, because the patient might not know about it. Do not assume that the patient knows everything. So, well, Mr. John, I think with regard to this situation, I think we can help you with this situation. Fortunately, in the hospital here, we have a department called Social Worker Department, and it is actually staffed by people who are very much experienced, and they're actually working to sort problems like the one you have just described. So how about just employing some kind of help from those people? And I know that they are usually helpful, and they have helped people with situation like your situation, Mr. John. So you do it that way, right? And suggest solutions in the same way if it relates to something other than social worker involvement. If you want to involve a psychiatrist, for instance, or psychologist or physical therapist, or whatever kind of help that would address the patient problem, you can do it in the same way. Right, so we have to suggest solutions like that one, and then check that the patient is happy about this solution before you proceed further. Right, and the same thing would apply to different settings. If you want to advise the patient to stop driving, you try to explain that first, why driving would not be suitable. So, Mr. John, I hope you can see from the situation, driving might not be a good practice, something that you should continue, because you might have this condition while you are driving, and the consequences of this would be really so bad. I'm sure you do not want to find yourself in that situation. So suggest it this way instead of giving him instruction not to drive, right? So this is how you address different situations arising during the main discussion, and move on like that, right? You can use drawings, of course, and of course avoid medical jargons at all costs. So this way, you'll be addressing each point in the main discussions. Be sure that when you are explaining a medical condition, do not read from a textbook. This patient is not a medical student. Do not start by explaining the pathology and the pathogenesis. Explain the medical condition. The best way to explain it to a patient is to relate your explanation, right, to the symptoms the patient is having. This is the best way for the patient to understand that, right? And give a simple explanation. Do not give explanation like you are sharing with your colleague, because this patient is not a doctor like you. So make it simple and make it symptoms related, and then suggest practical solutions and explain the solutions before you suggest it, and make the rational why this solution, in your opinion, is rational, and make sure the patient sees the point as you see it and share it with you, right? If the patient comes with a new concern and you do not have time, or you think that you do not have time, do not panic. You'll always have some time to sort out the problem. And of course, you would avoid finding yourself in this situation if you really explore the concerns of the patients earlier on, and if you are able to pick up the verbally expressed or non-verbally expressed concerns. But if you still find yourself in that situation, do not panic. Show that you are attentive to these concerns. Show that you are not bothered because it has come late. Show that tell the patient that you understand how this thing is important to him, right? So you'll have time, and usually the new concerns will not be entirely new. It will relate to something that has been discussed. So go to that link between this new concerns and the part of discussion relating to it, and you can explain it that way, right? It will not be entirely new. If it is absolutely new and you don't have time and do not have a solution for it, it is better always, as you do in practice, Mr. John, I understand. Show your understanding and empathy, and I can see how important this point is to you. Right now, frankly, I do not have information to address this concern. But I'm going to look it up, and I'm going to organize another meeting with you to sort it out, and I will let you know about that. So it's a very good response. There is no problem with that. And you have to know your limit when you are discussing the main issues of any clinical encounter with a patient, right? So if you are an SHO, senior house officer, then you should not enroll, or should not actually go into details that would exceed your role as a junior physician. So you can just tell him, I'm going to refer to my consultant, for instance, or I'm going to organize another meeting with my consultant, and I think that would help you to get an answer to the point you have just raised, something like that. But do not refer to your consultant at all. At all times. There are many instances where you as an SHO would be able to answer the concerns of the patient. But if something exceeds that role, then you can organize another meeting, or you can tell him that I'm going to speak to my consultant and come back to you, right? And the last skill here is to signal. If you do it skillfully, you and your patient would come to a point of agreement that the session has been useful and should be concluded. And once you sense that, then you go to the third task, which is closing the session. And I'm going to discuss this in the third audio, where I will be discussing